Good morning. Nice to be back with you to look into more of God's Word. Today we're going to talk about having a quiet and peaceable life. I was recently talking about a book whose title is Quiet, and the subtext is In Defense of Introverts. It talks about people that are introverted and extroverted. And it's a psychology book. It's not the Word of God, so don't take it as the Word of the Lord. But it compares introverts who tend to be more quiet and extroverts who tend to be more outgoing. And you find out as you read it that everybody has some of each. And it's often not how they appear. It has to do with how they recharge. An extrovert can be at a party and just be fun and can stay there half the night, because the extrovert feeds off the energy in the crowd. Whereas an introvert might be at the same party and might stay for an hour or two and be very talkative and very charming and very outgoing. But after an hour or two, the introvert might be totally exhausted because it's so much work to be around that excitement. And the introvert needs to go off to a quiet place to recharge. So somebody that recharges by noise in a crowd is generally considered an extrovert. Somebody that recharges by quiet time, by themselves or maybe with one person, that person is generally considered an introvert. And a new term that's shown up recently is ambivert, people that are sort of half and half. Because like I say, everybody has qualities of both. And I've known people that, I had a friend who worked at the Pentagon, and he was very outgoing, always leading meetings, you know, handling award ceremonies. But then he would just go back home by himself and with his cats and his pipe and be very quiet. So different people have different approaches, but it got me thinking about the importance of being quiet with God, which we've read about before and we'll read about today. Because no matter whether one would consider oneself an introvert or extrovert, being quiet with God so you have peace in your heart is absolutely critical. I even drove a couple an Uber last week who were going out to dinner Friday night and all excited. They said they loved weekends, except they hated Sundays because Sundays they'd start getting scared about going back to work on Monday. So Sundays were terrible. So I taught them a little bit, or just shared with them a little bit about the peace of God and trusting God and focusing on God, you know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, those kind of verses. And I gave them our website address and suggested they go there and listen to some of the sections about the peace of God. But whether they do or not, it's up to them. But I made it available. So whether one is very outgoing or very reserved, and again, different people are different, it's very important that one look to God and have a quiet and peaceable life. So let's start in Proverbs chapter 1 with that introduction. And again, don't get thinking that what psychologists say about introverts is the Word of God. It's just some observations about the way some people interact with other people. But one thing everybody can do, introvert, extrovert, ambivert, doesn't matter. Look to God and trust God. Look at here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, whoever listens to God, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's the thing. We listen to the wisdom of God, and the result is we dwell safely and we're quiet from fear of evil. We're just peaceful. We're quiet. There's always evil around. The devil's a godless world. And half the people I talk to say, oh, things are worse now than they've ever been. Well, I don't think so. I mean, in other centuries, they had massive wars. They had massive plagues. They had massive poverty and drought and starvation. All kinds of things. So yeah, do we have problems today? Sure. The devil's still a godless world. People still have an old man to deal with. So sure, we have problems. But I don't think today is very unique as far as problems. We just have different problems. And just like people have dealt with their problems in previous generations, we'll deal with ours. And the main thing is God will be there. Because look what it says. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, unto the wisdom of God, is going to dwell safely. It doesn't matter what's going on in the news. You may listen to the news and love half of it and hate half of it, which is what most people do. Just sometimes they hate and love different halves of it. But still, no matter what's going on, we listen to God and we dwell safely and we'll be quiet from fear of evil. We're peaceful in our hearts. I was talking to God the other day and praying and about all the things going on in the news. And I'm like everybody else. Some of what I hear I love, a lot of what I hear I hate. But you know what? God just said, don't worry about it. It's going to have no effect on you. And that's true, because most of the things we hear don't have any effect on us. They have terrible effects on certain groups of people in certain places. But on us, it's pretty quiet here in Virginia. We have roofs over our heads. We have heaters that work. We have lights that work. We have grocery stores where we can buy food. We have cars that run. Life is pretty good. I haven't seen anybody try to attack me with a submachine gun or come after me with a machete. I haven't had trees fall over and take my roof out. Life is great. And so there are difficulties in the world always, but they're generally not going to affect us. Especially, we happen to be fortunate to live in a very peaceful, calm place. But even if we lived in a more challenging place, it would still be true that we hearken unto the wisdom of God, we would still dwell safely, and we would still be quiet from fear of evil. Look at Proverbs 17. And verse 1. Better is a dry morsel, just a little crumb, and quietness therewith, than a house full of sacrifices, you know, where you've sacrificed all these goats to the Lord, and then you get to eat the meat, than a house full of sacrifices with strife. So it's better to be somewhere quiet and peaceful with a little bit than to be in a place with great abundance, but there's strife, there's argument. I'm not sure it's in here, but there's something about better to live in the corner of a housetop than be harassed every day. At any rate, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 goes more on the same theme. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 6. Better is an handful. And it could be a handful of everything, but probably talking about food. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. I've often mentioned that how important the peace of God is. And, you know, like I've watched a few of the shows recently where they're giving awards for the best movies and TV shows, and best acting, and best costumes, and best makeup, and all the things. And we have, you know, Time Magazine, Man of the Year, and we have Nobel Prizes for people that do different things. And, you know, people do surveys and find the richest man in the world, or the most successful man in the world, or the most brilliant scientist in the world. And these are all important things. They're all part of our society. But did you ever hear of an award for the most peaceful person? Nope, I've never seen one. Yet, if you look at the important things in life, being peaceful is more important than just about, not everything, but just about everything. It's one of the maybe top five priorities of any successful and enjoyable life. Because look at that, again, in Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is an handful, a little bit, with quietness, than both the hands full, a lot, with travail and vexation of spirit. Wow. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. People find so much to worry about. I know some people that are always in a constant state of agitation, and they contact me with panic, and, you know, I try to help them. We all try to help everybody, but it seems their life is just a constant state of chaos, and they're worried about everything. I don't like to live like that. I have lived like that at times. I think we all probably have at times, but I certainly try to avoid that. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it. But they could not prevail against it." So a number of kings went, I think there was three there, went up to Jerusalem to war against it, but they could not prevail. Verse 2, "And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, the king of Judah." The Lord told Isaiah to go meet Ahaz. "Thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not. Be peaceful. Be quiet and fear not. Neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah." So it was actually Syria and Israel attacking Judah. He said, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. They were outnumbered at least 2-1. And I think both Syria and Israel probably had bigger armies than that of Judah. So as far as fighting men, soldiers, they might have been outnumbered maybe 3 or 4-1. "Neither be faint-hearted for the tale of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin, the son of Remaliah." Verse 5, "Because Syria, Ephraim, another name for Israel, the northern kingdom, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let's go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us," you know, break a hole in the wall, "and set a king in the midst, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass." And then it goes on to give you more details. But the point is, go back to verse 4. God told Isaiah to go to Ahaz, the king of Judah, in Jerusalem, and say unto him, take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. And that is great, great counsel. And the reason they could do that was they had God there to protect them. And God said he would not let those other countries into Jerusalem. Wow. Look at Isaiah 30. Verse 15. Here they are in a difficult time. Things are going wrong. But look what it says in verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." This is a case where the word of the Lord came to it and they didn't listen. But if they had simply returned to God and rested in him, if they'd certainly simply been quiet in their hearts and confidence in God, they would have strength and they would have prevailed. And just remember that when you're having a tough time and your thoughts have gone way away from God under the problem you're facing or the people that are bothering you or whatever's going wrong. In returning and rest shall you be saved. We sometimes get so frazzled because we got to do everything. And there's a lot to do in life. But we all know there's a time where you've done everything you can. And it's not working. And you're panicked. Well, return to focusing on God and rest in him. Be quiet in your heart and have confidence in the Lord that He'll deliver you. That will be your strength. I don't care if you're an extrovert, introvert, ambivert. Whatever's going on in your personality, whatever kind of personality you may have, doesn't matter. What matters is being quiet in your heart and looking to God. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now let's go forward two chapters to Isaiah 32. And in verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Well, they were righteous before God by trying to carry out the law. We are righteous because Jesus Christ carried out the law for us. So the work or the effect of being righteous, being right before God, is peace. And the further effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. See, because we're righteous before God, which we always are, it does not depend on our works. We are righteous before God. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So just because Jesus Christ gave his life for us and we have righteousness, the result is we have peace. We have quietness. We have assurance forever. We just have to focus on it. Think about somebody that's, you know, out in the street and loses his wallet and says, God darn, I'm broke. But forgets that he, you know, has thousands of dollars in the bank across the street. He can sit there and be all mad about the money he lost, or he can walk across the street and take out some more. Well, same with us. We have days where things are tough, but if we just change our focus from the problem to God, like the guy in the street changes focus from the fact that he lost his wallet to the fact that he has 100 times that much money in the bank across the street, he'd be fine with his money, but we're fine on a much bigger thing than our money. We're fine with our whole life. Let's look at that again, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Verse 18, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That's what I think of us here in the great state of Virginia. We have the privilege of living in peaceable houses, sure dwellings. They're not falling down. In quiet resting places. Where if we just choose to put our focus on God, we rest quietly, we rest peacefully, and we're just confident God will take care of us. Wow, great stuff. Jeremiah chapter 30. Here we go in Jeremiah chapter 30. All right, Jeremiah 30 and verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob. Of course, Jacob is Israel's name before God changed it to Israel. So it's talking about the children of Israel, the Judeans. Well, all of them, not just Judah. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, behold, I will save thee from afar. I'll save thee from afar. I don't have to be there with an army. I can see God could work remotely. I will save thee from afar and thy seed, your offspring, from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be what? In rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. What a great way to live, that you can be in rest, and be quiet, and not be afraid. See, a lot of people are afraid of stuff that will have no effect on them. Do I hear stuff on the news every day that's scary? Sure I do. Is it going to harm some people? Absolutely. Almost everything on the news hurts somebody. Other people it might help. But doesn't mean it has to have any effect on us. And like I said, like God told me, don't worry about it. It has no effect on you. And let's be honest, 99.9% of what we hear from the neighbors or from coworkers or on the news or in social media has nothing to do with you and me. Just some people ranting and raving. They may have a good point. They might have a bad point. But the point is, it doesn't have any effect on us. So let's read that again. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be thou dismayed, O Israel. For lo, behold, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Wow, and this is talking about those that have been taken captive to Babylon, 800 miles away, by the huge Babylonian Empire. Even those guys are going to come back and have a peaceful life. And under Cyrus the Persian king, they did return. Lamentations 3. Here's another very favorite one of ours. Lamentations chapter 3. In verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that great? He should hope, he should have positive expectation that the salvation, the deliverance from whatever problem is facing you, the deliverance from the Lord will be there, and just quietly wait for it. The Lord will always come through. Think of it, you're at an airport, a train station, or bus station. Figure the vehicle's going to get here, but no use worrying about it. If it's not due to arrive for half an hour, why worry about it? Quietly wait. Read a book. Answer messages. Get a snack. All kinds of things you could do, but no reason to worry about it. Hope, you know, have that positive expectation that the vehicle will get there. Quietly wait for the deliverance of the Lord. And you know, even if that vehicle doesn't get there, God will find another way. I've had places where I waited and nothing came through, but God provided something else, and I took that. If God opens the door, you go through it. There's that silly story about the guy who's in an area that's being flooded. So, you know, a truck comes up to pick him up, you know, from the county sheriff's office. George, I came to get you. George says, nope, I'm not going to get in your truck. I'm praying for the Lord to get me out of here. George says, okay, and goes away. And then the water gets higher. So George goes up to the second floor. And the local safety patrol sends a little motorboat out to get him and talking to him through the second floor window. George, I came to get you out of here. George said, nope, I'm waiting for the Lord to take care of me. Finally gets higher and higher, so George goes up on the roof. And a local Coast Guard helicopter comes by, drops the ladder, and says, George, get on the ladder. I came to take you out. And he said, nope. I'm waiting for the Lord to get me out of here. About that time, this voice booms from heaven. What do you want, George? I already sent you a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What else do you want me to do to get you out of there? So God had sent all that stuff. George was too dense in his head to see it. Well, I've had many cases where something didn't come through that I wanted, but something else popped up. And on a good day, I'm smart enough to realize the Lord took care of me a different way and thankfully accepted. Wasn't the one I planned, but it worked out, and it usually worked out even better than what I had planned. So it's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians. In case you thought this only worked in the Old Testament, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here we go, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. a lot in there about the gathering together, but that one I can read that part of the chapter. Verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That's quite a challenge, to do your own business. How many people just want to talk about everybody else's business? Well, you can do that if you really have to. Sometimes you got to vent a little bit and do that. But don't have that be the focus of your life. Study to be quiet, do your own business, work with your own hands as we commanded you. In other words, focus on what's before you and pray and trust God. Somebody else has some other responsibility you may think you're better at or you want it. Okay, we'll pray that maybe God will open a door for that. But for now, you got work to do. You got responsibilities. Focus on that. And that first part of the verse where it says study to be quiet could be translated endeavor to be quiet. Be ambitious to be quiet. Make it your ambition to be quiet. Everybody has ambitions for everything. I want to make more money than him. I want to be more famous than she is. I want a bigger one of these. I want a newer one of that. And you can have those if you want. But make your real ambition to be quiet, to be peaceful. Make that your goal. I am going to live peacefully. And the last translation is, let it be a point of honor with you to be quiet and peaceful. Some people have a great point of honor. I will never lie. I will never be late. I will never fail to take care of my family and provide for them. All kinds of things. And those can all be very worthwhile goals. But not everybody is in all those situations. But everybody can make it a point of honor to be quiet, to be peaceful. Just trust God. Study. Have it be a point of honor with you. Endeavor. Make it your ambition to be quiet. Wow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Remember we read in the other verse that you focus on your own work? Well, they weren't working. They were busybodies. They just spent all their time talking about everything else. Verse 12, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. Just shut up about the busybodying, focus on your job, be quiet and peaceful, and eat their own bread. What a great thing. I was telling somebody the other day, I've never been broke, hungry, or unemployed because I always did whatever was there to work. You know, and I've had many careers and studied at many universities and done many things like we all have. But I have had everything from the high-level jobs where I'm talking to congressmen and, you know, sitting on a stage 6 feet from the president and doing all kinds of things, wandering around the world, chairing international meetings. And now I'm a cab driver. And I love it. I get to talk to nice people and witness to them. And I've been a caterer, and I've been a painter, and I've been a gardener, and I've washed dishes. And I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. If it's legal, and I get paid, and I can buy groceries and cover housing costs, I don't care. Now, it's nice. It's good to have a job that pays you well, and you enjoy, and you grow. But no matter what you got, it doesn't matter. Look what this says. Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they eat, work, and eat their own bread. Isn't that amazing? Just tell them to forget the gossiping, find some work to do, and do it peacefully and quietly, trusting God to take care of you. And one to close here in 1 Timothy. One to close here in 1 Timothy. And chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And as far as I can tell, this next verse is the only thing in the church epistles describing our responsibilities relating to governments. Like, during the life of the Apostle Paul, he was working with some very evil Roman emperors. But did he talk about that? No. He said, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. That was the extent of his political advice. Of course, today we know many Christian groups have basically been taken over by political groups, and that's their choice, but it's not in the Bible. The Bible says, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, we're supposed to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a what? Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so that's what I finally decided to do after thinking about this, after talking to God and him telling me none of it was going to bother me. I decided to go back where I've always been. My responsibility as a Christian is to pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, as American citizens, we have all kinds of things we can do. But as our Christian responsibility, it's pray for leaders and all that are in authority. Wow. And then verse 4, we do this. Or verse 3, we do this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, if I have other political opinions and run around yelling and screaming about them, is that good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? I don't know. Might be. But I know that praying for leaders and all that are in authority, that is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. He just wants us to pray for government leaders so we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's good and acceptable in God's sight, and it's because he wants people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's why Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, all those guys focused on the word of the Lord, not on government or societal problems, and they had plenty of them. If you read the history then and look into it a little more, they had every bit as much, if not more, problems in government and society than we do today. But they didn't focus on that. They focused on trying to get all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So that's what we focus on. You can focus on anything you want in your personal life, but in our fellowship and in our outreach with God's word, we don't make it a political thing. We make it a biblical thing, which is that we pray for leaders and all that are in authority, and we do what we can to help all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And as we do it, we endeavor to live a quiet and peaceable life. We endeavor to work with quietness. We make it our ambition to be quiet. We realize it's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the deliverance of the Lord. We realize that God's people could be in rest and be quiet. We realize that the effect of our righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. We realize that in quietness and confidence is our strength. We realize we are to be quiet and fear not. And better is a handful with quietness, or a dry morsel with quietness, than a whole bunch of abundance. And the one we started with, whosoever listens to the wisdom of God shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a great life. Let's be quiet from fear of evil. Let's keep praying for people. Let's keep speaking the word. And no matter what goes up, down, or sideways in society and in governments, because they're always changing, sometimes for the better, often for the worse. But whatever they're doing, God's going to take care of us. And that's the main thing. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the wonderful people that will hear this teaching, and may it encourage them to trust you and look to you and be quiet and peaceful, knowing you will take care of them. We thank you for all of this and a great week ahead, trusting you and being peaceful and quiet every day. In the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.